To be with you guys this morning. We come from a place in the States called Alabama. It's in the southeast part of the country. It's a very beautiful area. And I don't know if it's as beautiful as South Africa. We talk about this place so much back home, my wife and I, my wife Mary. Actually, we met here 6 years ago, didn't know each other. And we had to come all the way to South Africa, about 8,000 miles, to meet each other, fall in love, a little later, and get married, and now we're back. So this is very much like home for us coming here. I can remember being in this church, Pastor Keith, that just feeling a kindred spirit, first time ever coming here, you know. And it's true today. Just feel that kindred spirit. This is just, I think Pastor greeted us this morning and said, this is like welcome home, and it's so much true. It's almost like a welcome home, just welcome back, My wife Mary, as I said, she's back. You want to say anything, babe? No? Okay. You can talk to her afterwards. She would love to chat with you. I'm sure she's going to want to hold that little baby. I can almost guarantee it. So, the Lord really was dealing with me about today. I'm going to tell you the presence of the Lord has been with us mightily leading up to this trip. Without going into too many details and taking too much time, the enemy really tried to stop us in our physical bodies before this trip. And I'm going to tell you, just in my living room, waiting on Mary to get home from work, I was, sometimes the Holy Ghost just showed up and, just began to deal with me even more about today. And I just knew God was up to something. When the Lord starts pushing you, God has plan and purpose. He really has a purpose for us today. I believe that. I can feel it, and I can just, with the songs. It's funny, that last song you guys sang, that's the song that came to me. Now, I have not spoken to Pastor Keith in 6 years. You can ask Joe and Maggie, no social media or anything. And when they sing that song, I come in, they were singing it. And I said, well, God's up to something. Everything that has kind of transpired so far today is just confirmation that God is here, that God has orchestrated this whole thing, that God is in control. And the thing that I love about God and His presence is that the presence of God works anywhere. It's the same everywhere. I've been to a lot of countries. And it doesn't matter if I'm here in Africa. It doesn't matter if I'm back in the States. The presence of God is the same. Okay? So, I can tell you, I can sit here and worship and I get lost. And I just forget where I'm at. It doesn't matter that I'm so far from home. Because I'm among my brothers and sisters. I'm among God's presence. There's been times I've been in America and so caught up in the presence of God, I really thought I was here. To be honest with you. I've been in some rural churches out in Swazi. And I felt like I was back home in an air-conditioning church. And I was thinking in my mind with my eyes closed, I can't wait to have lunch with Pastor to talk about this amazing event. And I would only realize that I'm 8,000 miles from home. So God's presence is the same everywhere. It works everywhere. Okay? So I do believe God has given me a good word for us this morning. I believe God wants to do some things. I believe the Holy Ghost wants to change people today. I believe God wants to show up in your life like never before. I believe in the power of Jesus. I believe in the blood of Jesus. I believe in the power of the Holy Ghost. Okay? Our God is real. Our God is strong. And we want to talk to you today. It's kind of funny. I don't hardly ever give titles to sermons. But I just felt led to title this by the Lord, What Happens When God Blows the World's Mind? Okay? And if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to the book of Daniel. And we're going to quote a lot of scripture. In the States, sometimes we say, I may saddle up two or three donkeys and ride them today. So we're going to quote some scripture. We're going to get into two books. And we're just going to allow the Holy Spirit just to worship, administer to us. Amen? So in Daniel, I just want to give you a little background. In the book of Daniel, we're going to talk about three Hebrew boys. You probably know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That was their world names, okay? Their God-given names, their Hebrew names, were Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. So we had three Hebrew boys. They were in, the children of Israel were in captivity in Babylon. In that day, there was a decree by King Nebuchadnezzar saying, you can only worship the God or the idol that the king has set forth. And so we're going to read about three Hebrew boys that refused to bow down. They refused to eat the food that was offered to idols. They just ate on bread and water for the most part. And you know what? It says, we're not going to bow down because we know that our God is great. Our God is greater than these idols. It's greater than what's going on here. Our God has not forsaken us yet, so we're not going to turn our backs on him. Okay? So we want to pick up in Daniel chapter 3. And we want to pick up in verse 8. It says, at this time, some astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, may the king live forever. Your majesty has issued a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music must fall down and worship the image of gold, and that who does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there were some Jews whom you have said over the affairs of the providence of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, your majesty. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up. Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now, when you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, and pipe, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? Verse 16, it says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into a blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual, and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent, and the furnace was so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, were there 3 men that were tied up and thrown into the fire? They replied, certainly, your majesty. He said, look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound, unharmed, and the fourth looks like the Son of God. Verse 26, Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here. So Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, and governors and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair on their head singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then King Nebuchadnezzar said, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their houses be turned into piles of rubble, for no other god can save in this way. And then the king goes on to promote Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you for what the Holy Spirit has just revealed to us in your word, Father. We ask that you be with us, speak through me today, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we have a very interesting story. It almost sounds like modern times. You know, today around the world we have Christians being killed in all sorts of places. Even in America, I never thought I'd see the day where Christians were persecuted. Okay? It happens. Okay? So, and I'm praying that the tide is shifting on that a little bit. But it is happening, and I think some of that is in accordance with prophecy. But I can almost relate to this story. Now, in America, I don't know of any Christians being killed publicly like this or being threatened. But I do know that there are some people rising up saying, you know, we don't really care what the influence of the world says. We're going to serve our God. We don't matter if it's a popular decision or not. We're still going to serve our God. It doesn't matter what is around me. I'm not going to allow the influence of this evil, wicked world to have a negative influence, and I'm still going to worship my God wholeheartedly. There's a lot of people, okay, and I see this in a lot of places I go. The people come to church, and they do really good, but during the week, they are so far from Christ. And it's a shame. And oftentimes, we find people, they have things in their lives, or they've allowed something to come in. And so it's really good on Sunday. You know, I'm really good, Pastor, on Sunday. I'm really on fire on Sundays, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, boy, I'm so far from it. And that's because people have allowed, just like this, you had these three Hebrew boys, it would have been real easy for them to do the popular thing. It would been real easy for them just to go with the flow. Just to fit in, just do what everybody else is doing. They said, no, our God is stronger than this. I kind of got messed up. You know, I love sports. I do love rugby, but I'm gonna kind of talk about American sport for a minute. So in the States, there's American football. I don't know if you're familiar with it. It's a pretty big thing on the collegiate level, and where we come from, our college, state college football team they're very good. I'll say that they're one of the best in the country. This past year we played for the national title. You know, that's like the championship game. And we played a team from this other state called from South Carolina up on the East Coast, called Clemson. Okay, so we got a few fans in South Africa. Okay, so, but their coach of this Clemson, he's from Alabama. In fact, he's from my hometown of Pelham, and he's a very godly man. He loves the Lord. And I kind of got messed up about this, and this is so awkward. I mean, this would almost be like, you know, me kind of complimenting maybe, I don't know, the All Blacks or something like that, you know, during the World Cup or something, you know. But I got messed up because when Clemson unfortunately beat Alabama, their coach got on national and international TV, okay, and began to weep in tears. And he says, only God can do this. And he said, I told my team, the difference in this game will be the love that we have for each other must be stronger than the light shining on us. He said, the light within us must shine brighter than the light shining on us. And I got so messed up about that, because here's a man, grown man, with all the secular world against him. They usually, you know, in America, you know, coaches and players start quoting Bibles and scriptures and thanking Jesus, they just cut away. And all amazement, they kept the cameras rolling. And he started weeping. He said, God, only God could do this. Only God can do this. And I just got so messed up. And I said, here's a man who the world just looks down on how his beliefs are, and yet he's going to stand up and not allow the influence of the outsiders. In fact, his pregame interview was even, he says, I told the team, don't pay attention to anything going on around us. Don't pay attention to it. Focus your attention on the love that we have. And I thought, man, if we as Christians could just focus on the love of Christ within us, if we could just, when we have those moments, those things that deal with us, I believe today there are people that are dealing with sin in their lives. There's people that are dealing with bondage and chains in here today. I believe that there's people here that have something that is standing between you and the Father. And I'm telling you, if you will turn your attention on what is inside you and allow the God thing in you to overtake whatever's going on around you, and allow the Holy Spirit to come in and have His way. So, what do we have to do? Okay, we're going to jump a little bit. We're going to jump to the New Testament here in just a second. So what do we have to do not to allow the influence of society, of politics, of maybe even friends, maybe even situations, maybe even circumstances? Sometimes circumstances are more dangerous than people and things. Jesus said, resist Satan and he must flee. In his name alone, the devil has to leave you. Okay? I want to take that a step further, if I may. I believe we need to resist fear. I believe we need to resist doubt. I believe we need to resist stress, lust, anger, marriage problems and issues, health problems. I believe that if we allow the Holy Spirit in, these things can flee. If we can resist the devil and he flees in Jesus' name, then I believe the things that we deal with can flee in Jesus' name. Amen? So, we've been given this thing that Jesus gave us after he rose again called the Holy Spirit. Okay? So, what Jesus said in John 16, okay, if you want to take some notes, you can even turn there. So, Jesus said, it is best that I go away, because if I go away, then I can send the Holy Spirit to you. Okay? So, I'm going to teach a little bit. I'm going to teach, preach. Okay? I don't know if you have that term down here in Africa, but in America, I teach, preach. I teach 1 minute, I'll turn around and preach to you the next. So, we know that the Holy Spirit, because Jesus said in John 16, that when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to guide you into all truth. He's not going to speak on his own, but he is going to say what he hears. And he revealed things to you. So, we know that the word Christ, Jesus Christ means the anointing. The word Christ means the anointing. The anointing is the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. It's about to get good, I'm just going to tell you. Better buckle up or unbuckle one. So, that word indwelling, I love this, Pastor. Now, I went to one of my favorite theological books, and that is Webster's Dictionary. Okay? And I looked up that word indwelling. That word indwelling has two incredible, fantastic, powerful meanings. One is something that is implanted to promote drainage. The second meaning is an interactivating or guiding force. So if I've read my Bible right, Pastor, in John 16, we have Jesus who is the interactivating, guiding force of the Holy Ghost. It's something that has been implanted to promote something out of the Holy Ghost into us. So let me take that a step further. So I know that if I have Jesus in me, and I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, that means I have something within me, Pastor, that is designed to come out of me. It's an interactivating, guiding force to guide me into all truth for His name's sake. In Psalms it says that the blood of Jesus is a path of righteousness. He will lead you in path of righteousness for His name's sake. Okay, hallelujah. So I have something in me called the Holy Ghost that is designed to come out of me. It's designed for me to come out here and plant a seed in the world around me. It's my job as a Christian, it's our job as a Christian, to look for those open doors of communication in our world and allow the God thing in us to plant a seed and sit back and watch the Holy Ghost show up and water that thing and watch it blossom. Okay? I can't heal nobody. I can't save nobody. I can't set anybody free, but through the power of Jesus within me, I can plant a seed. And the Holy Ghost can show up. And the God thing in me can activate with the God thing in you or somebody else. And the Holy Ghost show up and have His way. Okay? So I feel very strongly today that the Holy Ghost is come here today to break chains. Okay? I believe the Holy Spirit has come to say, I've got something in you that is trying to get out of you. Some people feel so frustrated, Pastor. I see this. I've gone to many countries in my life. And I see this everywhere. It blows my mind. Christians are so frustrated. And they can say, you know, Pastor, I'm not in any kind of sin. I don't have any kind of bondage. I'm not dealing with anything. But man, I just still feel so frustrated. But yet there's still something trying to get out of them that they're blocking. Because there's something within you. There's this God thing in you that's designed to come out of you. And, you know, you always have like a clogged pipe, okay? You need like a spiritual, I don't know if you guys, what the brand is here, but it says we have a brand called Drano. And when you have a clogged pipe, you pour the Drano in, and it clears the clog out. I don't know what you guys call it here. So, you need some kind of spiritual cleansing. That's where the Holy Spirit is showing up in your life. So the question we have to ask ourselves, okay? The questions we have to ask ourselves is this. What is going on in my life? What has God called me to do? What does God have for me? And how do I get there? Got real quiet. So, people tell me all the time, I teach a small group midweek at my church, and it's a very open forum. And people tell me all the time, when I first started doing it, they used to say, yeah, but I'm not a pastor. I'm not an evangelist. I don't play or sing. I'm not a gifted speaker. God really don't have a plan to use me, Pastor. I say, no, you're wrong. Because it's your job to look, as I said, for those open doors of communication. Because you have a Jesus inside of you. Okay? It's great you come to church and listen to the teachings of your pastor. That is awfully biblical. Go read Acts 2:42. Okay? It says all the believers devoted themselves to the teachings of the apostles. In those days, the apostles were the pastors. Okay? They devoted themselves. There's something to that. But during the week, okay, pastor can't be in all your homes at the same time. Pastor Keith can't be in all your jobs at the same time. So you've got to be able to have some word in you. And that you have to look for that open door communication and not allow the influence of the world, of society, of things that might hold you back. I feel strongly today, and I know the enemy has fought me. He fought me on the airplane, Keith. I'm just going to tell you, 15-hour flight is one of the worst flights I've ever had in my life. It bumped all the way down here. Holy Spirit dealt with me on that plane. I can't sleep, so I might as well pull out my notebook and just... let's just study. Let's just let God speak. Enemy fought me. You don't need to talk about getting people free from bondage. You don't need to talk about people getting saved and rededicating their lives. You don't need to talk about that. You just need to give them a good little word and just go home. We all just laugh and have fun. I believe God brought me to Africa for a reason. Okay? The Lord started dealing with me and said, you know, he started reminding me. I told you about my living room. He started dealing with me. And he says, I'm sending you there for a reason. If I didn't have a reason, I'd tell you not to go. But I'm sending you there for a reason. Jesus said in John 16, verse 33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you're going to have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. So, if I've read my Bible correctly, I do know that I'm going to have some trouble. I'm going to have times where they're going to persecute me. There's going to be times I'm not going to feel God's glory and presence always as strongly. My flesh may rise up. Circumstances may rise up. But Jesus said, if you will come to me, you will have peace. In this world, I have overcome it. I am so thankful for the blood of Jesus. I'm so thankful for the cross of Calvary. I do know this. It doesn't matter what's in your life. It doesn't matter what's between you and the Lord. Maybe it's not you. Let's take a step further. Maybe it's a loved one. Every time I say that, it always gets quiet no matter where I say that. Maybe it's a loved one that's away from the Lord. Maybe it's a loved one dealing with an issue or a circumstance, and they need Jesus to show up mightily. Okay? I do know this. I have the Son of God named Jesus. And he came to us. I do know Jesus wants us to have peace. I do know this Jesus is real. I do know there's power in Jesus. I do know that if I just believe in Jesus, then I can have peace in Him. Okay? So, I do know from example, let's look at the other side of this. I do know that Abraham got quickly to a place where the position of God was greater than the presence of God. Okay? Thankfully, God dealt with him, and he eradicated that real quick. David got to the same place. David got to a place where he committed murder and adultery. And thankfully, he got a hold of God and got straight. Okay, so the thing that I recognize about David, the thing I recognize, even going back to creation, the thing I recognize about Abraham is that these guys always inquired of the Lord. And when they stopped inquiring of the Lord, that's when their circumstances around them, that's when they were able to be negatively influenced, is when they quit inquiring of the Lord. I've just finished reading all of 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel. Okay? Even before, from the time David was anointed king forward, he inquired of the Lord, shall I go and pursue, overtake, and recover all? And the Lord said, go. Or the Lord would say, don't go. Or the Lord would say, do this or do that. He inquired of the Lord. When he quit inquiring of the Lord in battle, he had no business being in the palace when the battle was taking place. And he committed adultery. Then later murder. Okay? He had no business because kings should have been with their troops. David should have been with his men. He should have been leading. Okay? He should have been inquiring of the Lord on their behalf. I do know Abraham was the same way. Every time when God called him and he went forward, as long as he inquired and showed the faith in God and showed the faith in Christ, in his father, everything good. God showed up. When he quit, that's when doubt came in. That's when he got more tied up into the position of God than his presence. Okay? So let's just wait for the Lord. It don't matter if I've got notes or not. Just feel like waiting. The Lord keeps drawing back, and I keep going back to it. The Holy Spirit. Somebody needs the Holy Spirit to show up in their life today. There's a situation for somebody. Maybe it's multiple people. I don't know. I don't know you guys. I'm far, far away. But I do know the Holy Spirit when He prompts me. I do know the Holy Spirit when He speaks to me. I do know that God will not deal with me for a week, a solid week about today, and about the Holy Ghost needs to show up in somebody's life today. I don't know if it's a chain. I don't know if it's a bondage. I don't know if it's a circumstance, a situation. But I do know that if I invite the Holy Ghost, then I invite Jesus. If I invite the Holy Spirit to Him, then it doesn't matter what my circumstance is. I know the story. I feel like closing this. I feel it's time to minister. When Jesus fed the 5,000, okay, we all know the story. Okay, we could turn in and read it, but we all know the story. Jesus fed 5,000, not counting women and children. He taught all day, and they had this great revival up on the mountain. The disciples and Jesus left and went down to the boat. Jesus told his disciples, let us go to the other side. We all know the story. Jesus went to sleep. Okay, I love that. I love the Bible says that because it shows that he was both God and man. He goes to sleep. They set sail. Experienced fishermen. A storm came. Water starts coming in the boat. Starts filling the boat. Jesus is still asleep. The disciples thought they were going to die. And all these experienced fishermen, surely they've been in many storms. Surely they've seen this weather. These were fishermen. This is what they do. And they woke Jesus, "Master, don't you know we're about to die?" Did they really think they were going to die? I mean, Jesus is in the boat, and he's asleep. And Jesus gets up, and he rebukes them, and he rebukes the waves, and it all comes down. And he says, "Where's your faith? I don't know what you're going through. I do know this. If Jesus says you're going to the other side, you're going to the other side. It doesn't matter the circumstance. It doesn't matter what's trying to attack you or influence you or trying to hold you back. I do know that Jesus already gave the word." Thank you, Holy Ghost. So Jesus on the cross bled and died, rose again, said it is finished. In fact, he screamed with a loud voice, "It is finished." If it is finished and my sins are forgiven, if it is finished and I'm healed, if it is finished and my circumstances or situations or activity in my life tries to come against me, I have the blood of Jesus. There is something called the cross of Calvary. One of the last things Jesus told his disciples was, "Soon you will not ask me for anything, you will ask the Father in my name. I will not ask on his behalf, on your behalf, but because you believe in me, because your faith is in me, my Father will answer for you because he loves you." So I do know that I have a Jesus that bled and died for me. I do know that the blood of Jesus covers everything. I do know he died and rose again. I do know that he sent the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. I do know that everything in any situation that may come my way is covered by the blood. So, the problem, there's mixture. Oil and water don't mix. Okay? If you have water, you pour oil in it, it doesn't really mesh. Same thing with gas and water. It kind of dilutes it. There's mixture. In your life or in people's lives, we have this thing called Jesus trying to speak to you, deal with you, guide you, nudge you, give you purpose, give you life, give you destiny. And on this other side is the enemy, its flesh, its chains, its bondage, it's all this other stuff. And it's pushing and nudging at you. Okay? Problem is everybody tries to mix those two together. In other words, they try to say, "I'll let you influence me over here a little bit, and then when I'm feeling really bad, I'll come over here and get in over here with Jesus. But I'm really going to spend more of my time over here because society, you know, and friends, I don't want to lose my friends." But the whole time Jesus saying, "Well, no, the enemy's going to come and steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come to give you life and I've come to give it to you abundantly." So I have this thing called Jesus in my life. I have this thing called the Holy Spirit at work in my life. So, who is here today? First of all, who needs Jesus? Maybe you say, "Well, at one time, Pastor, I was very strong in the Lord. Maybe one time, Pastor, I come to church and things like that, but, you know, I really don't know the Lord like maybe you're talking about. Maybe my relationship with him is not a relationship. Maybe it's just an activity. Maybe I just go to church and it's a social experience. But Jesus is wanting to have relationship with you. Okay? He's wanting to have fellowship with you. Okay? We will fellowship with tea and all those things after church. God wants to fellowship with you in the same way. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, who's here today and you say, Pastor, you know, I don't know the Lord. I've never really accepted the Lord. Or maybe I'm just kind of, you know, maybe I once knew him, but I really don't know the Lord like you're saying. Maybe I don't have that relationship. If that's you today, I just want to lift your hand and let me know. Make contact with me. Just let me know that you need to maybe rededicate your life to the Lord. Maybe you need to ask the Lord into your heart. Is there anybody here that fits that criteria, that category? And you say, I need to make my relationship right with the Lord. Okay, I see those hands. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I see those hands. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for making that choice. Anyone else? Anyone else before we move on? I see that hand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray this prayer, and then we're going to move to another category of ministry. Let's all repeat this prayer. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you as a sinner. I believe you died on the cross. I believe you rose again. I believe you came from God. I ask you into my life. Forgive me my sins. In Jesus' name, amen.